Last week, I shared a message with you about how we can learn to always be glad, always cheerful. I know that's a pretty high bar, but it really is available to us. And I really believe that we could do that. But you know what? So often it's easy for us to just kind of fall back into the same old patterns. And instead of letting that go, I just want to take it a step further and build on that. We ended up with Philippians 4:8. We're going to begin there this morning. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things." You see, what we choose to focus our thoughts on will determine whether or not we're glad and cheerful. What we focus our thoughts on will determine the level of our peace. What we focus our thoughts on will determine whether or not we are thankful people. I want to share a few things with you about thankful people. First of all, as a rule, thankful people are happy people. You know what? Everybody wants to be happy. In fact, in our country, we boast about this, that we have the right to the pursuit of happiness. And man, do people ever pursue it, going after it with all they are. But here's the thing about happiness. When you chase after it, you don't really catch it. It doesn't happen that way. But here's one way that you can be a happy person: if you become a thankful person. Research shows that people that are thankful, they're less envious, they're less resentful, they sleep longer. I could use some of that. They exercise more, they have a drop in blood pressure. I could use some of that. One psychologist said you can't be depressed and grateful at the same time. Now, I'm quoting a psychologist there because I know some of us would like to disagree with that, but I'm just telling you, it really does have an impact on your happiness level. That psychologist also said that it makes a person physically, mentally, and in every way healthier. Oh, I could use some of that. How about you? Just from being thankful, well, look at it this way. Two people at work, and one of them is miserable. Another is doing the exact same task, but they seem to be happy. You know what the difference is? A lot of times it's as simple as the fact that one of them is thankful for their job and the other one thinks they deserve more. I'm telling you, this being thankful really is a thing. Thankful people are pleasant to be around. Now, misery loves company, and I don't know about you, but when I'm in a real bad mood, sometimes it kind of rubs me the wrong way when somebody's in a real good mood, right? Especially if I haven't had coffee yet. But the truth is that most of the time, we like to be around people that are positive and upbeat, thankful people. Thankful people bring glory to God. They honor God with their thankfulness. See, being thankful comes from being humble because we acknowledge that it is God who blesses us and all of the good things in our life came from God. Some more research shows that gratitude, being thankful, helps us actually feel better. But there is a catch. They say you got to give thanks more than once a year. That's like going to the gym once a year. All you get is sore and being thankful once a year. See, that's what our country does. Once a year, we're going to be thankful. But I'm telling you this morning that if you're thankful all the time, it's going to impact your life, even your health. So this morning, we're going to begin a series about Thanksgiving. And I realize that that doesn't sound real exciting, powerful. Some of you thinking, not even interesting. But here's what I can tell you. If we really get a hold of this and live it out in our life, it will absolutely change your life. I'm talking about if we actually become a doer of the Word of God. You realize how many times the Bible says to give God thanks? And if we actually become a doer, instead of just a hearer where we're really living this out, I'm telling you, it will impact your whole life. It'll impact your family, your workplace, your witness for the Lord. It'll change your life. I know that this is one of those areas, again, where we can know what we're supposed to do, and yet we fall back into the same old patterns. I know from my own personal experience, you know, things aren't going my way, and I get grumpy, and all of a sudden I find myself being unthankful. But there is a way that we can overcome that. I really believe that the Scripture shows us how we can cultivate a grateful heart and see thanksgiving grow in our lives. You know, the main reason it's so hard to be thankful, I believe, is because of the culture that we live in. We live in this culture of dissatisfaction and discontent. It's a culture of criticism and complaining. Almost nothing is good enough. This ungratefulness where if something's not perfect, then it's not enough. And we can always find one thing to be upset over, even though maybe there's many, many other things that are good in our life. It's just that one area. And so we're not satisfied and we're not thankful. And think about this. We know this, but we're living in the most affluent generation in history. We have things, material things, that even the richest of people a couple of thousand years ago couldn't even have imagined. And yet, for the most part, we live in an ungrateful generation. I believe the Scripture speaks about our generation very clearly in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And I want to read the whole thing just to get the full impact of it. But it says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, terrible times. He says, men are going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And you know what? We can see all of those attitudes in the time that we live right now. But they're in the middle of it all, unthankful. I think some people think of being unthankful as just like being impolite. You know, you hold the door for somebody and they don't even say thank you. That's rude. And certainly being unthankful is impolite. It is rude. But as believers, we need to understand that it's much bigger than that. It goes much deeper than that. It is a spiritual thing that we are supposed to be a thankful people in everything, giving thanks, always giving thanks. The Bible says it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. This is what we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to do in our life, be a thankful people. But so often we end up taking for granted the blessings of the Lord, the things that He pours into our life on a daily basis. Like the children of Israel in the wilderness, when God miraculously provided for these people, 1 million to 2 million people, and God provided food for them every single day. What a great miracle. Every day, there was this manna left on the ground, and they were able to go out and get that manna, except on the Sabbath and the day before. The Lord provided twice what they would need so they wouldn't have to go out and get it on the Sabbath. Amazing. This amazing miracle. But you know what? It became so familiar to them, they got tired of it, and they grumbled and they complained. They weren't thankful. God is providing for them by a miracle, and yet they were no longer thankful. And you know what? I see the same thing in our generation where so many of us, we're so blessed and God provides for us, and yet we can get to the place where we no longer appreciate it, no longer really thankful, because we've become familiar with the blessings, familiar with the provision, and we don't really even appreciate it anymore. And that so much is the generation that we live in. But listen to me. The ungratefulness of our culture has everything to do with the spiritual decline in our nation. Hear this in Romans 1, 21. It says, although they knew God, and I want you to think about this, these are people that knew God. This isn't people that didn't know Jesus or they never heard anything about God. No, they knew God, all right? They did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. They wouldn't give God the glory. They wouldn't acknowledge Him, and they weren't thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Now, don't just run over that. This is very important. You see, they became futile in their thoughts. Your thoughts are very important. Your thoughts are very important to your level of thanksgiving. They became futile in their thoughts. It's that pride of man, this humanistic philosophy that I got what I got because I earned it. The self-made man, there is no such thing. God made them all. But this attitude of the world that it's that pride that I earned it, I deserve it. Not giving God the glory for it, not thanking God for the blessings. They became futile in their thoughts. And here's the next step. Their foolish hearts were darkened. You see, when people cease to be thankful, cease to give God the glory for the blessings in their life, their thoughts become futile and their hearts are darkened. Sometimes we look at people, we think, how did they get so far away from the Lord? A lot of the time it started right here. There came a day when they were no longer grateful. They felt like God had let them down or didn't do them right, or God blessed other people more and didn't treat them right. They became ungrateful. Their foolish hearts were darkened. And listen, professing to be wise, they became fools. And oh, how that's true in our generation, where so many think they've got life figured out, when it comes to the things of God, they've become fools. When we don't give Him the thanks that He deserves, we're taking His blessings for granted, we are in a dangerous place. A lot of times people feel entitled to the blessings in their life. Even believers, they think that somehow God owes them. And they don't really consider them blessings. But we need to be reminded that every good thing in our life came from God. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift comes from Him. Amen. Here's a way you can tell if you've become unthankful. What if the only thing you had tomorrow was what you were thankful for today? What does that leave you? But most of us manage to be truly grateful one day a year. And maybe if some special blessing comes along. But are we grateful every day? Are we thankful? Are we telling God every day how thankful we are for His blessings in our life? You know, God has given all of us a free will. And we can choose to be thankful. But I'm telling you the truth this morning. Truth sets free. That if we don't get our thinking right, it's really hard to be thankful. But when we get our thinking right, it's not near so hard anymore. In fact, it becomes quite natural to give God thanks when our thinking is right. So here, Romans 12:2 says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Now, most of the time, when we think of not conforming to the world, we think of sin, immorality, you know, those types of things. But consider the word of the Lord this morning. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. You see, where they are unthankful, ungrateful, complaining, critical all the time, always looking for the worst. We can't conform to that anymore. But here's how He says to change: be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word transformed, it's not talking about a little shift in the way you live. That word transformation is the word that we use for metamorphosis. It is a total life change. How's that happen? By the renewing of your mind. If you'll really change your thought patterns and the way you think, it'll really change your life. I know that's easier said than done, but I tell you, we can do it. We can change our mind and it'll transform our life. You want to be somebody that's happy? You want to be somebody that has hope? You want to be a humble person, somebody that pleases the Lord? You want to be pleasant to be around? Let me tell you, you let God help you renew your mind and it'll transform your life. See, when we start getting our thinking right, then our thoughts become seeds of thanksgiving. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The way you think in your heart, guess what? That's the way you're going to end up living your life. And so it's so important how we think. Our thoughts can either be seeds of complaining and criticism, or they can become seeds of thanksgiving. Now, in every life, there's good and bad. Maybe your marriage is great, but you don't like your job. You got a nice car, but man, it burns way too much gas. Life is just almost always a mixed bag of blessings and difficulties, and we might think that some have more blessings and we got more difficulties, but the truth is a lot of time we just don't know what battles and struggles somebody else might have. But all of us have areas of our life where we feel blessed maybe, and we have areas where we struggle. And so we can choose to focus on the good things, or we can always just be looking at the bad things. You see, even with your kids might be doing really well in one way, in another way, they're not. Some of you, with your spouse, it's that way. You're really appreciative of your spouse about some things, but then there's that thing that you just want to fix, right? I mean, my wife is 99% perfect, but did you know I can focus on that 1%? I'll just tell you what it is, all right? She hides my stuff from me. I'm going to do a 15-minute project at the house, some little handyman repair thing. It takes me 45 minutes because I've spent 30 minutes looking for my tools. And I tell her, I said, where did you hide it? She says, well, how do you know that I'm the one that put it away? And I tell her, because we both know if I had it, it'd be right here in the middle of the floor. That's all true story, by the way. She does hide my stuff from me, just saying. Now, I know some of you are thinking 1%, that's nothing, preacher. Here's the point, though. You see, we can all focus on the negatives, and we end up not being appreciative for anything. Or we can all focus on the positives, the blessings, and we end up being thankful all the time. So 2 days ago, we celebrated our 38th anniversary. And as I bowed my head for prayer, we were eating out, and I bowed my head to pray. I was so thankful. I was just kind of overwhelmed for a minute. Because I know I don't deserve all the blessings the Lord has poured in my life. And I just am so thankful. By the way, I want to ask you to join with me this month. I have made a commitment that every day this month, I'm going to post on social media something that I am thankful for. And I don't know, you know, if you use social media in some way, whatever platform it might be, I'm just telling you, here's a simple way we can actually have an impact. It might not be huge, but who knows, it might. It might impact somebody's life. Just every day, post something that you are thankful for. I really think it would bless some people. It'll annoy a few, but that's okay. You know what? It'll be a nice change from so much of the icky stuff that's all the time, constant. Instead, let's lift up the Lord just by simply saying thank you to God publicly for something that He's done in our life. I just invite you to join in with me, all right? For the month of November, I'm going to do that. And I think it'll be a blessing to you and to your family and friends and people that know you if you do that too. But life is so often filled with highs and lows, peaks and valleys. And you know what? You can find something to complain about even on the mountain. And you can also find something to be thankful for in the valley. So you got to choose what you're going to focus on. And here's the thing. When our thinking is negative, we get into this vicious cycle where the more we focus on bad things, the more we look for bad things, and the more we complain, and the more we actually bring negative situations into our life, we just make the worst of it. But when we focus on the good things, the things the Scripture tells us to, see, it becomes a virtuous cycle where we give God thanks and we have a positive outlook, and it creates a positive atmosphere in our life that perpetuates blessings and good things in our relationships, and it just comes back to us. I'm telling you, if we're thankful because we focus on the positives, oh, how it can change things. You know, in this world, there's so much that's wrong. So much that's bad. Just constant. If you watch the news or you read news on the internet, however you get it, there's just something horrible even. Things I don't even want to talk about in church. Horrible things going on around our world every single day. Horrible people. Wicked, wicked people doing terrible things. But here's the thing. There's also good people. There's a lot of good people doing a lot of good things. We just don't hear about it near as much. But there's actually a lot of good people out there doing a lot of good things. And even more than that, there's a good God who's doing good things. You just don't hear about it. You don't see it in the news all the time. But it's happening. It's all around us in this world. God is still moving and working and changing lives, and He has a lot of good people. Yes. That's what we need to think about. That's what we need to focus on. You see, they'll tell you about all the young people that messed up and did something awful, but they don't tell you about our youth group with so many young people serving God with a whole heart, living for God. They're not doing evil, wicked things. No, they're doing good, and they're talking to their friends about the Lord. Let's focus on that. We don't have to focus on all that garbage. You see, it changes things when we change our focus and our thought patterns. About 30 years ago, you know, like anybody, not just that's in ministry, anybody that goes to church for very long, I'd been hurt by church people. And we were at my grandmother's. We all went there a lot of times when we got a chance to get away. It was almost always where we went. And I was walking through the woods one day, and I was just complaining to the Lord, and I just said, God, some of your people. And it was like in that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke back to me, yes, some of my people. It was like I was complaining to God about how some of His people had been mean to me, but the Holy Spirit reminded me how good some of His people had been to me. Changed my focus. And I'm just telling you that life is that way. Yes, you can always find something wrong, but we can also find something to be grateful for. Amen. And we change our thoughts, it becomes seeds for thanksgiving. And we dwell on the good things, and we think about the good things, and before long, thanksgiving is coming out in our life. Psalm 107 and verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." Why do you give thanks to the Lord? He is good. So many good things that God does in our life. His mercy endures forever. I'm glad he doesn't treat us as we deserve. I don't know how some people get to that place where they think God owes them, like they're entitled to something from God. I know that he owes me nothing. And every good thing in my life is because of his mercy and his grace. I have nothing but thankfulness for him. In the same Psalm, 107, verse 8, he says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." His goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. I'm telling you, God is still doing good things in our lives, and we need to focus on those things, not the thing that's wrong. Hallelujah. You know, one of the deceptions is in our day is that thoughts don't matter. You know, they say the same thing about words. You know, words will never hurt you. How stupid is that? Anybody been hurt by words? That's probably the worst I've ever been hurt is by words. Well, here's another stupid one. Thoughts don't matter. Oh, it's just a thought. Your thoughts have everything to do with the direction and course of your life. Now, I'm not talking about a passing thought. I'm talking about your thought patterns and the way that you think, the things that you focus on, the things that you dwell on, has everything to do with the direction, the course of your life. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." We don't just let our minds run wild. No, you take control of your thought life. You decide what you're going to think about. Now, I've certainly had the experience where I couldn't turn my mind off. I don't know what it is, but as I have gotten a little older, I've gotten to where I have this situation where I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and my mind is just running 100 miles an hour. And I think about this and I think about that, and all I want to do is go back to sleep, and I can't seem to shut it off. But here's the thing, even though I can't shut it off, I can decide what I'm going to think about. I can decide to think about good things, and you know what happens? The negative one keeps trying to come back. But I can decide. I can still choose to think about good things, and more than that, I can start praying about those things that were trying to keep me awake. You know what I'm saying? And even more than that, I can get up and start reading my Bible and take control of my thought life. But I can take control of my thought life. Yes. And the Bible says that we should. We take every thought captive. We don't just let our minds run wild. No, you take control of your thought life. Look for the positives. It's a story told about a man who found the barn where Satan stores the seeds he sows in the human heart of envy and greed and anger and hatred and lust, etc. And the man noticed that there was one kind of seed that Satan had the most of. More than any other kind, he had seeds of discouragement. And Satan said that those seeds would grow almost anywhere. He said, "What do you mean almost anywhere?" He said, "There's one kind of person that those seeds won't grow in. Somebody with a thankful heart." Hallelujah. And I'm just telling you, being thankful won't solve all your problems. But I do believe that it'll help you to overcome. Amen. It'll keep you on the path to victory. It'll keep you looking up, keep you expecting, believing. See, we pray with thanksgiving. You know why? Because we're expecting God's going to turn it around. God's going to bring the victory somehow, some way. But when you get into that attitude where you're complaining and you're criticizing and you're negative, oh, it's hard to thank God, and it's hard to believe God, and it's hard to see your way out and to see a way to overcome. So I encourage you, take control of your thought life. Get your mind on the goodness of God and all the good things that God is doing, good things that are happening in your life. One day they brought a paralytic to Jesus, and Jesus forgave the man's sins. The religious leaders who were there became critical, judgmental, in their hearts, they said, "This man blasphemes." And here's what Jesus said in Matthew 9:4, knowing their thoughts. He knows our thoughts too. Another good reason to take control of your thoughts, right? Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Now here's the thing. None of us can keep a thought from popping in our head. I mean, somebody comes up to you and says something stupid, you're going to have a thought in your head, right? But you don't have to entertain it. You don't have to swing wide open the door and say, "Come on in, let's have a party." No, when a negative thought comes in, you just decide, "I'm not going to think about that," and get your mind on something else. Put that negative thought out the door. Take control of your thought life. And you know what? It's going to be hard at first. Some of us that have a real pattern for thinking negatively, it's going to be a real challenge. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying you can change your life if you can change the way you think. One of the ways that you can impact your thought life, your thought patterns, is by what you put inside. Be careful as much as you can about what you listen to and what you look at. Luke 6:45 says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. Out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks." See, if we're storing up bad things, guess what's going to come out? If we're storing up criticism and negative thinking all the time and resentful thinking, then ungratefulness is going to come out of our heart. So we guard our heart. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of your heart, that's where thanksgiving is supposed to come from the heart. It's not just lip service. No, it's something that comes from our heart. And how does that happen? Because we've been thinking right. We've been storing up good things in our heart. Oh, how we need to remember all the good things that God has done for us. You know, a lot of people, they have a hard time being thankful because they look back and they see so many bad things in their past. Well, some of that you need to put under the blood of Jesus. And the rest of that, you need to let God help you to get healed and move on. And instead of thinking about all the bad things of the past, think about all of the blessings. Forget not all His benefits. Some people, when they look forward to the future, they see problems, negative things, hardship and trouble. And they look forward with fear. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? How much better to look forward with faith, with thanksgiving, that we're believing God, we're thanking God for what He's going to do, expecting God to move. I want you to know God responds to that kind of faith and that kind of attitude as we pray with thanksgiving. As we wrap up the service this morning, I just want to say to you one more time, I am so thankful for the wonderful people in this church. Kind, gracious, sweet people, loving people. And if you're visiting today, I am not exaggerating. I'm telling you this straight up. I just feel so blessed. I am so thankful to be pastor at this church. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate you. My verse for today, what I'm most thankful for today, is 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, indescribable gift. There are not words for the gift that He has given us in the gift of His Son. He so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son indescribable gift. That's how much God loves you. And on your worst day, in the time when you just can't see your way out, can't see a way up, remember that He gave an unspeakable gift because He loves you. Stand with me. We're going to pray.